Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Alan Gray, helping you secure your future, 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. And I'm so looking forward to my conversation with Alan Gray today. It's 6:43, and as we do every other Tuesday, we speak to Alan Gray with some perspective on your investment. And I think today's conversation couldn't be better timed. Next week is National Wills Week in South Africa, and you'll hear me beating this like playing it like a broken record or beating the drum to death. South Africans simply do not save appropriately for our retirement, and certainly possibly not for after our lives. However, it's interesting because the stats actually show that we save predominantly a great deal more in terms of funeral policies and the like as opposed to our retirement. So we're more interested in how our money survives us after we're gone than how we can live it. Jaya Leibowitz is joining me today, retail legal manager at Alan Gray, to help us understand the post all of that, which of course is what is left behind for your loved ones. And that is how to secure your estate planning and your investments with your wills. Good evening to you, Jaya, and thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Good evening.
Hi. Tell us a little bit about your perspective on the South African wills market and South Africans' propensity for actually preparing for the inevitable.
So, I mean, I don't really have the stats on what this looks like, but I do know, even amongst my friend group or my family, that people do tend to put off drafting a will. And I think that can be a little bit short-sighted, perhaps, especially when anything can happen.
Okay. And what's the most dangerous thing about that?
So I suppose you have to look at the legal consequences of not having a will, which is that if you don't have a will, then all of your assets will be divided up in terms of the Interstate Succession Act. And that means that at its core, your assets would be divided up between your spouse and your children. And if you don't have a spouse or any children, it would then go to parents and siblings. And all that is very well and good, except that it doesn't recognize how you might want your assets to be divided up in the event of your death. There are also additional problems, such as the fact that it would take quite a lot longer for an executor to be appointed to wind up your estate, because you would otherwise nominate an executor in your will. And then the last thing is that if you have children, it's really important to have a will so that you can nominate a guardian for those children in the event that you're a single parent or both parents die simultaneously, to make sure that your children are cared for, and not only emotionally but also financially, because children obviously can't act on their own, and you would then have to go to court to have a guardian appointed, which is a much lengthier, more difficult process than if you had just nominated a guardian in your will.
All right. So in this coming Wills Week, National Wills Week, I know normally they are very simple, because you're highlighting very complex things to think about. They normally highlight very simple either consultants to approach, cost-effective ways to get our very first page of a living will, of a will at the very least. What are some of the participating attorneys offering this Wills Week?
So each Office of Attorneys might be offering a slightly different service. If you would like to have a will drafted next week during Wills Week, you can find a list of all the participating attorneys on the Law Society's website. And they give you a list of attorneys per province, city, area, etc. And then the best thing to do is really just phone ahead, make an appointment. I know a lot of attorneys will not take walk-ins, and get a sense of what it is that they are providing as a service. They will provide a very sort of basic will, but that should include who you would like to appoint as your executor, if you have children, who you would like to appoint as your guardian for those children, and then sort of a basic level of how you want your assets to be divided up.
Okay, and to your point, the Law Society of South Africa's website is www.lssa.org.za if you would like to look into that for Wills Week. When you get to the website, there is a button there for you to register for Wills Week, and I assume that is where you might find some access to the legal advice that you seek. Let's talk a little bit more about that legal advice, Jaya. So one of the questions that I had from one of my colleagues a little bit earlier is the idea that even when one pulls together a legal will, sometimes it can be contested. So why don't we start with what the presumption will be? Let's say I do have a family member that has a spouse and that has children. What is the presumption generally under the law in terms of how that money would be allocated?
So are you saying if there is no will?
Correct.
In place? So if there's no will and you have a spouse and children, then the assets will be divided up equally and your spouse will get the larger of a child's share or 250,000 rand, whichever is greater, and then the balance is divided up between the children.
And in South Africa, where we find that our families are not necessarily of the nuclear type, let's say there's more than one parent of child, there's not necessarily a fixed marriage. I mean, are there any presumptions that one needs to think about in that regard, traditional marriage as opposed to that under the courts?
So our law does recognize customary marriage as a formal marriage, and it should also recognize some forms of religious marriage, such as Muslim marriage in this regard. But it kind of depends. And I think what you're saying, it just highlights the importance of having a will. Because we have family structures that are more complicated than a simple nuclear family structure, and you're dealing with children who may not be your biological children, maybe they're another family member, a sister or brother's children that you've taken in, or they're your grandchildren. That really highlights the importance of having a will so that you can make sure that those assets are going to those people that you are caring for.
Tell me something, Jaya. So here's the other thing that I think we need to be aware of and why our paying attention to our investment products is so important. The saying goes that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. But actually, the only thing certain in life is death, taxes, and then taxes on your death. And we shall probably need to be aware of estate duty, executive fees. These are things we don't think about when we think of the lump sum we're leaving behind for our children or any of our people that we are guardians to. Take us through some of those that we should be aware of.
Okay, so everything that sort of forms part of your estate is going to be subject to estate duty, which is a death tax, essentially. It's levied at 20%. On the value of your estate, which is a net value, so you take assets less liabilities and then you calculate the 20%. But in addition to that, there are executive fees, which they can vary. Generally, they're about 3.5% of the estate, but you can also negotiate a specific fee with an executor that you decide to appoint. And this is where financial products can become quite useful, because some of them will help you avoid either estate duty or executive fees, or both. And if you'd like, I can run through some of those different products. Right, so the first, and I think the one that most South Africans will have, you know, their savings in South Africa, the rate is quite low. But most people who do have some form of savings have retirement savings, something in a retirement annuity, a pension fund, a provident fund, something like that. So that money that's sitting in that type of retirement savings vehicle is not going to be subject to estate duty or to executive fees at all. It doesn't form part of your estate. But something that's quite important to remember is that you don't necessarily get to control what happens to that money in the event of your death. So you will nominate beneficiaries, and you really should make sure that your beneficiaries on those products are up to date. However, if something happens to you, the trustees of your retirement fund have to look at who your dependents are. So there's the legal terminology for what is a dependent, a spouse, a child, and other specific definitions, as well as factual dependents. They'll establish who those dependents are, and then they're required to allocate the benefit in an equitable manner. So that's kind of how that is dealt with.
Mm. So, Jay, tell me a little bit, you know, one of the things that, and you mentioned a little earlier, and I think many people who have unfortunately faced loss have faced, is that it takes a long time for the executor or the master's office and the assets of the person who's passed away and the will to be wound up. And in many cases, particularly for dependents, that's 1 year process, it can sometimes even extend to 2 years, is simply untenable from a liquidity perspective. What are some of the considerations that one can use for liquidity, let's say for an extended period? I know many of our South Africans love a funeral plan, and that normally takes care of the event, but the living for that year while everything else is being wound up, what can we consider in that regard?
Now, so there are a few different types of products that can pay out almost immediately on the death of a loved one. The most common and obvious one is a life insurance policy, where the traditional pays out a lump sum in the event of death. Very similar, it works in a very similar way to a funeral policy, except that it's not specifically funds for a funeral and burial. Other products are also available. So, for example, the Allan Gray tax-free investment product is structured as a life policy. So you put in your savings, it grows tax-free over time, and you are required to nominate beneficiaries on that policy. And in the event of your death, Allan Gray will pay out whatever is sitting in that policy immediately after we are notified of death.
And while I haven't been taxed on it, will my beneficiaries be taxed on that?
That money, as it's paid out, is going to be tax-free. However, it will form part of your deceased estate.
Yes.
So there is estate duty that's going to be included in that sum. We wouldn't deduct it at Allan Gray before paying out, but it would have to be calculated as part of your estate duty by the executor. And it's exactly the same for an endowment policy. So an endowment policy, you would also be able to nominate beneficiaries. The policy would pay out automatically in the event of your death. It's pretty quick. I mean, it's not obviously not immediate, but it's you know, within a couple of weeks, probably. And that, in the same way, would also be included in your estate for the purposes of the estate duty. Both those types of products, a tax-free investment and the endowment, would not flow through your estate, so you wouldn't pay executive fees on them, which is quite a plus, but you do have to be aware of the estate duty implications.
And then, is this something that I could use as complementary to, or instead of, let's say, a life policy?
I think you could definitely use it as complementary to, or instead of. It just depends on your financial circumstances, what you can afford, and what kind of outcomes you're looking for. Because those products are linked to investment, you're not necessarily going to get a specific sum paid out in the event of your death, like a life policy. But the added bonus is that that amount does grow over time, depending on what the underlying funds that you invest in are.
Sure thing. Tell me, how regularly should I be reviewing my will?
That's a very good question. I think it depends. You don't necessarily need to be reviewing it on a regular basis, but as and when life events happen, you know, a marriage, a death in the family, a new child being born, you should definitely be reviewing it at that point in time. And then I suppose every so often, maybe you should just revisit and think about, you know, is it still reflecting your wishes?
Yes.
Or do you want to think about changing it?
Okay. We have a question here from a listener, Dumza, and I think it's quite a pertinent one. Have a listen.
Hi, Fifi. I wanted to ask something. You know, I heard that if you say you have policies and stuff and you've made out how much people are going to get, that will supersede your will. Is that true?
So having assigned a beneficiary, let's say, how does that work, Jaya?
Yeah, so as I was saying, these policies, if you assign a beneficiary in those policies, the insurer or the financial services provider that's providing that policy will not consider your will at all.
Yes.
The beneficiary that's nominated on that policy will take precedence, and it's only in the event that that beneficiary is no longer alive or refuses to take the benefit that it would be paid to the estate, and then those monies would be paid in accordance with your will.
That's an incredibly important thing to bear in mind. I mean, it's almost like the creditors. You know, you may have a will and testament, but if they're still, you've almost assigned them to be creditors of your wealth. And anyone that you have owed debt to is going to be paid before your will gets paid out. And similarly, I guess you could consider those beneficiaries in the same way.
In a way, yes, but I think it's to their benefit. It's to your beneficiary's benefit.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Because that money is not going to be paid into your estate, it's not going to be used to settle debt. It goes straight to those beneficiaries. And as we mentioned earlier, it's going to be paid out much quicker.
Correct. Sorry, I meant that they're sort of on the same level as a senior debt holder. In other words, for the other person who might be named on the will, that they, you know, you have to pay everybody who is intended to be paid first and then what remains. So that's an important tiering system to bear in mind.
Yeah, and I think that's also why if you're considering amending your will, you should also consider all of your life policies and your investment products and make sure that those beneficiaries are also up to date.
This has been an extremely enlightening conversation, Jaya. Thank you so much. Jaya Liebowitz is from Allen Gray and is a retail, retail legal manager at Allen Gray, helping us understand our will, our fees that we might have to pay in terms of finalizing those wills, particularly ahead of National Wills Week from the 16th to the 20th of September next week. If you'd like to find more information or get yourself a lawyer to speak to with respect to how to approach your will, please go to lssa.org.za. That's the Law Society of South Africa at lssa.org.za and click on register here. That and much more coming up after this. And what's great about this conversation, it's helping you secure your future, which was brought to you by Allen Gray. 50 years of long-term investing, Allen Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.